Welcome to another episode of What Else You Got with Mitch and Margo. I'm Mitch, and I'm with Margo. What else you got?
I've got quotes, 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 quotes. Growing up as a kid, my mom had quotes posted all over the house on little post-it notes. She had a bunch of them taped to her bathroom mirror. She had them random places around the house. There were always just little snippets of inspirational quotes everywhere. So I thought, let's share a couple of quotes. Do you have a favorite quote, or does a quote come to mind, or you want me to throw one at you and you tell me what you think?
Oh, I got plenty, but I want to hear yours first.
Okay, I'm going to start. Should I go simple, or I'm going to go a little more thought-provoking for the first one. So the first one is by the philosopher Seneca. And he said, now listen, he said, "It is not because things are difficult that we do not dare. It is because we do not dare that they are difficult." Let me say it again. "It is not because things are difficult that we do not dare. It is because we do not dare that they are difficult." What do you think?
That sort of reminds me of another quote I've mentioned a couple times on the podcast of it's the creed, the motto, the thought process of basically programmers of, "We didn't do it because it was easy. We did it because we thought it was easy."
Yeah. So do you avoid things that are difficult? Or do you dive right into them?
It depends on what they are. If I know it's difficult, I might putter before I really jump in. If I think it's easy and then find out it's hard, then I'm already halfway through, or at least I think I'm halfway through. And so I keep pushing on until it's resolved.
I also think that quote by Seneca talks to procrastination. Sometimes we will procrastinate a task or responsibility because we just feel like it's going to be so difficult. I read a great book called Time Management from the Inside Out by Julie Morgenstern. And she, one of the ideas she recommends in there is to track your time for a week to see where you're actually spending time, and then also pay attention to which tasks you're procrastinating, and then actually document how much time it actually took you to complete that task that you were procrastinating. Because oftentimes we will torture ourselves mentally over a task we don't want to do for whatever reason. So whether it's scrubbing the toilet or walking the dog, whatever. If we would just stop and see, okay, it actually only took me 10 minutes, if that, to scrub the toilet, but I tortured myself thinking about it for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that really plays into that quote by Seneca. I'm just assuming I'm saying his name right. It's spelled Seneca. I think it's pronounced Seneca. He was a philosopher.
Sounds right.
But so to his quote, oftentimes we make things more difficult by procrastinating and putting it off, where if we would just dare to do it, then we would find out it wasn't actually that difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's the lesson of life. Just do it. I think that's a tagline of a brand.
It is. Yeah. So give me a quote. What you got? What else you got?
I've got four quotes because I keep thinking of them. But I was watching a movie last night and it reminded me of this one quote that's just perfectly phenomenal. "You were always the wrong guy until you weren't."
Who said that?
The character's name is Laura, and it's from Deadpool and Wolverine.
Oh, "You were always the wrong guy until you weren't."
Yep. She was talking to Wolverine, Logan, because he was going, "You got the wrong guy." Because if you go across all of the Wolverine movies, he's always going, why do you keep trying to have me do something? I don't do that. I'm not that guy. Why do you keep thinking I can? And then at the end of most of the movies, he's always the guy who saves the day. And so it really is the epitome of the character. And it's also, it just fits so well with life where, yeah, you might not be the right person, but you can be if you choose to. And so you're always the wrong guy until you weren't. So as you apply yourself, you can achieve it.
I like this quote as I think about it more and more, because the same concept with that quote is a puzzle piece. If you've ever worked a jigsaw puzzle, you pick up a piece and you try it in some of the available positions where you think it will work, and it's the wrong piece until it's not. And so sometimes with life, like you mentioned, sometimes it's the wrong time until it's not. Sometimes it's the wrong situation or person until it's not. And so just like a jigsaw puzzle with a bunch of moving pieces, we have to find the right piece at the right time in the right place for it to all come together and make sense.
Yeah. And sometimes you choose to when it's the right time. Sometimes the time chooses you, and it really just comes down to, actually, there's another quote. Greatness, I can't remember because I just thought of it. Basically, some people choose to be great and others have greatness thrust upon them, or there's a couple of variations of it. Yes. That's one of those that you can either choose to be the right guy, or you can have someone else make you the right guy.
Okay. I love that. All right. My turn for a quote.
Yep. What else you got?
This one sounds simple, but I think it can be more in depth. So Julia Cameron said, "May our words be friends." May our words be friends. What do you think that means?
There's a couple ways I could take it. My first thought is we can speak kindly to each other. We might not agree. We might not share the same opinion, but we can have a kind, civil discussion.
Yeah, I think that that's the basic interpretation of it. I also think that we could go a little bit deeper and think about, what if it's not a conversation with another person?
That's an interesting thought. It's one of those that you can, because at least when I'm thinking about talking to yourself, you don't have to contradict yourself, but you can build in a positive direction, which it's not that you're debating and tearing yourself down. It's you're choosing to build in a different direction. So it's one of those where people keep talking about the and but you can, or it's not and but. But it's you can switch the but for an and, so you're not contradicting, but you're building.
Yep. I've mentioned before how I meet with a mental health therapist regularly because I'm trying to polish myself. And one of the concepts I often talk with her about is negative self-talk. And I've probably said on this podcast before that I think emotions are stupid. I had this epiphany at my last appointment of, oh my gosh, wait a second. If I keep saying verbally or in my head that emotions are stupid and that I don't like learning to process them, then in fact, because emotions are a part of me, I'm saying that I am stupid. Because if I think emotions are stupid and I'm having emotions, I'm experiencing emotions, then am I saying that because I'm an emotional person or I'm experiencing emotions, that therefore I am stupid? And so that thought struck me kind of hard in that therapy session, because I was like, I've been working so hard on increasing my emotional intelligence, improving my internal self-talk, that was really eye-opening for me. I have been so resistant to experiencing and expressing and processing emotions. I really think that for me to stop saying that, stop saying emotions are stupid. I think it's going to really, really help me. And I think that it ties into this quote, you know, may our words be friends. Well, it's not very friendly to call something stupid. That was not being very friendly of me by saying that. And I really realize that now. And I recognize it was just a form of resistance on my part. Well, kind of going back to the first quote that I led with, that things aren't difficult. I can't remember how the quote went, but emotions are difficult for me because I'm afraid to do them. So I've been procrastinating and I haven't wanted to dare to do it. And so I'm trying to change my perspective on some things. I'm trying to improve myself. So I have decided to stop saying that emotions are stupid. And that relates to this quote of may our words be friends. Let's think about the words not only that we speak to other people, but the words that we say in our own head.
Yeah. And some people might say that's impossible. And I'm going to use that to segue to my next quote. So I have a little statue over here of Mickey Mouse, and it's one of those that I keep it because it has a very awesome quote in it. Sometimes it's fun to do the impossible.
Sometimes it's fun to do the impossible.
Yeah, so it's one of those that whether you're trying to change your self-talk or doing something that someone says, it's not possible, you can't do it. It's one of those that on my LinkedIn profile, I can't remember exactly what I put on it, but it's basically, I do the impossible, because many times people hand me a project, go, we don't know how you're going to do it. If we were to do it, it'd take forever. And I'm going, hey, give me some time. I will solve the impossible on how to make it work. Sometimes it's a really weird roundabout idea. Other times it's a straightforward idea, but it's those ideas were considered impossible, but you're able to build forward on that. So I keep that statue just for the reason of it's a phenomenal quote that just helps remind you that, yeah, you can take a stab at the impossible. And actually, one example that I have is George Lucas. One reason why he started with Episode 4 and not Episode 1 of Star Wars is because the technology wasn't there. And so his impossible became possible as technology grew.
Okay. You mentioned Walt Disney, and one of my all-time favorite quotes, and I had to pull it up real quick because I didn't want to misquote it. Walt Disney said, not only do what you love to do, but quote, do what you do so well that they will want to see it again and bring their friends. And so I love that because number one, not only do what you love to do, and like you mentioned, you love to do the impossible, but do it so well that not only will people come back to see you do it again, but next time they'll bring their friends. And so I've tried to take that kind of mantra, that attitude throughout my different careers and business ventures of just doing what I love, doing it so well that not only will people come back, but they'll bring their friends next time.
I've also heard a variation of that, of do it so well, you get paid for it.
Yes. Yeah, good quote. So yours was do the impossible. Whenever I think I'm going to attempt the impossible, sometimes I will not announce it to the world because I want to do it and then announce it. How do you approach it? Do you tell everybody that you're attempting the impossible before you start? Or do you tell people mid-process, or do you tell people after you've successfully completed it?
Depends on what I'm doing, because a lot of the impossible tasks I've been given are, notice I said given, because they're at work and they say, we need to solve this, we don't know how. And so in that case, it's announced before. Sometimes I announce in the middle going, hey, by the way, you know that impossible thing? I'm halfway through solving it and I think I should have it solved soon. And then there's other times I go, oh, that impossible thing? Yeah, here's the solution.
Yeah. I love attempting hard things. I really do. I think my pride sometimes prevents me from like announcing it before I've attempted it, because sometimes I like to, instead of another quote, I have no idea who said this, but it's out there kind of in the common vernacular, is don't tell people what you're going to do. Show them what you've done.
Mm-hmm. And there's another meme where at first you don't succeed, burn it and destroy all evidence that you tried.
I like that one. That was probably by another famous philosopher, right?
Yeah, someone off of social media, those philosophers.
Yep. And speaking of, you know, going for the impossible, I believe it was Les Brown who said, shoot for the moon. Even if you miss it, you will land amongst the stars.
There's a refute or a rebuttal to that quote. Why do you want to land next to a star? You'll combust.
May our words be friends. Okay, that would be totally, you know, some people have conversations where they just quote movie, they just use movie quotes back and forth. We could just do quotes.
Those are very fun and entertaining conversations. We'll save that for a future podcast.
I don't know that I have that skill. I could prepare some ahead of time maybe and just have them on the screen to converse with you, but yeah, we could just go back and forth with the quotes we have here.
Granted, it's one of those that if we were to do it, you can get away with any sentence just because, yeah, you can piece it together. It goes back to those awkwardly stitched together videos where you get all the characters and people saying completely different things because you took it from 60 different episodes to get 12 words.
Just like a Star Trek video of Picard.
That is my favorite Christmas video.
That's a pretty good one. All right, what else you got?
Okay. And I seem to have a theme of quotes. Sometimes it's the people who no one imagines anything of who... Sometimes it's the people who no one imagines anything of who do the things that no one can imagine.
I love that.
There's supposed to be a comma in there, but the quote didn't have a comma. And that's from Alan Turing, Imitation Game, but that also might be a real world quote because that's based on true events.
What true event? I mean, I can imagine there's a gazillion true events that could be applied to.
Yeah. So that one's specifically the British breaking the Enigma during World War II.
I don't even know what you just said.
Enigma was the encryption device that the Germans used to send their secure communications that the Allies could not break the code until they figured out how to do the impossible.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I like that quote. Sometimes it is the people no one imagines anything of who can do the things that no one can imagine. It's kind of a, oh yeah, let me show you kind of attitude. I know anytime anybody told me, especially, you know, as a teenager, anytime somebody would say, that's not possible, I don't think you can do that, I'd be like, oh yeah, watch me.
I just know there's so many great examples of people who shouldn't be able to do it, who do it, because there's a couple of accounts of a uneducated father who finds a cure for their son's incurable disease where they have no pharma-medical science experiment and or experience, but they're able to do it. There's others that people built devices that they had no engineering background, but they built a device because they had a need and they figured it out. And so it's just one of those that it really is needs encourage growth and innovation.
Another quote, necessity is the mother of all invention.
That's the quote I was trying to come up with. But yeah, it's just one of those that, yeah, the person who might be failing engineering class might become a head of an engineering department because they were able to solve one very specific thing, or they had a really unique interest, and then they learned everything because they had that interest finally. And so it's one of those, don't underestimate someone because they look like they can't do it. They just don't have a reason to at that time.
Yeah. And also, they look like they can't do something, maybe because their brain, and when I say look, I don't mean physical appearance, but maybe somebody appears to not be able to do something because their brain works differently than your brain. And while your brain might not be able to solve a problem, their brain and their perspective might be able to look at it from a different angle and accomplish the impossible. And like the example you gave of the father with a child who had a medical need, sometimes motivation makes all the difference too, because if someone is strongly motivated to solve a problem, it's more likely that problem's going to get solved versus somebody who's just clocking in and clocking out and there's no real strong urgency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one thing that I've been studying recently is basically inventor stuff and licensing products. And a lot of the products you see in the hardware department or that you find on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok shop, whatever, and they seem really weird and innovative. It was some random guy, not a business that came up with it. Yes, it might be branded under a business, but it was probably some random guy who built it in his garage, sold the idea to the company, and then the company sold it. So yes, the company licensed the product, but they didn't come up with the idea.
Yeah. Yeah. These are good quotes. What else you got?
All right. There's the classic Yoda of do or do not. There's no try. And so it's just one of those that if you're going to attempt something, do it. If you're not going to attempt something, don't do it. There is no, I might sort of do it. It's just, did you do it? Yes or no. That's it.
Again, I think that circles right back to that first quote of dare to do the difficult thing. And it might not end up being difficult. Just dare it and stop procrastinating and do or don't do, you know, just get to it.
And the theme of this episode really comes down to just do it, do the impossible, and do the best you can, because that's really what it's come down to, which really comes down to the holisticness of our podcast of we're trying something that apparently is hard to do, but we're doing it because we like doing it.
Right. So why don't we wrap up with one final quote? How's this sound?
All right.
Okay. This was also said by Julia Cameron. In a sense, as we are creative beings, our lives become our work of art. So I think that kind of ties into everything that we've talked about. What is the work of art we want to create that represents our lives? Are we procrastinators? Are we willing to dare to do the impossible? Are we willing to follow Yoda's advice and do or do not? There is no try. And are we interested in having self-motivation to figure out the impossible? And do we want our words to be friends? So what is the work of art that we want to represent as our lives?
So interesting cultural thing about art. So Western art is you add stuff to an art canvas. You add layers of paint, you add things to it. You assemble parts to create art. Eastern art, you take away from something to create art. And so if we put that in terms of our lives, when we first start off, we try to pack as much on as we can to figure out stuff. But at a certain point in our lives, we go, I have too much stuff and there's not enough value. Or we start taking things away until we have what truly matters to us, what skills we really want to master, what objectives we want to get to. And so we have the approach of abundance, and then we have the approach of getting to what you actually need, want, and it is fully refined at that. And so if you take those two cultural philosophies on art, you can come up with some phenomenal you art.
I think that's amazing what you just said. I think it's not just a cultural philosophy on art, because you could take what you just said and apply it to health. Because if you think about Western medicine versus Eastern medicine, Western medicine, you have a headache. Here, let's give you something. Let's add something onto it. Take this medicine to help with your headache. Eastern medicine, you have a headache. Let's figure out what we need to take away to relieve that headache. And so that's kind of an interesting parallel you just brought up. And again, what kind of work of art do you want to create? Do you want to follow one cultural philosophy over another one? What serves you well? I think probably that's the stage of life I'm in right now, is I'm trying to decide, what do I want the rest of my life to look like? And so I think right now I am in the process of taking away the canvas on the easel that has sat there for all of the years of my life that I've just been splashing paint on. Like you mentioned, I've been throwing stuff at this canvas my whole life, trying to figure out what would look good, what would stick. I think right now I have moved that messy canvas off of my easel, and I believe I'm in the process of putting up a blank canvas. I've not thrown away the old messy one. I'm looking at it. I'm trying to think, what parts of that did I like? What parts of it worked? And I'm going to start with a fresh canvas and start applying the parts that I want to keep and that I want to intentionally add to my work of art going forward.
And it really comes down to, you've had life experiences where you've improved certain skills, where you're able to build on those. Because as you're saying that, I kept thinking of German engineering. There's a reason why it's so world renowned, is because they have things that work, and then just general engineering principles of the less moving parts, the less things to break, which means the simpler the mechanisms. Because you can have 20 parts to move one thing 5 degrees, or you can just have 2 parts move at 5 degrees. It really just comes down to however you build it. You can have lots of parts, or you can have just enough parts. And so it really just comes down to what you want to build.
I love that. I love that visual. That's awesome. Well, what else you got, Mitch?
Well, I think that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in for another episode of What Else You Got with Mitch and Margo. Hit the like, subscribe, comment, share what is your favorite quote that you go by, and we'll see you on the next one.
See ya.